You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the 5 o'clock dream team 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth and also David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Now, let me put this out to you, David Shapiro. I think we've got an 11-month high on the US 10-year Treasury yield. It's gone from 0.77% in April of last year up to 1.26% at this moment. I think we've had 12 days up in a row on the US stock market and all sorts of other data that really just reinforces this bull market. We're going to record highs every single day. You must be so happy.
No, you know what?
Yeah, go
We're
on.
Happy. I know that you're worried about that long rate, but I think that's nothing more than a consequence of this bull market. That's going to go hand in hand. And the point is at what level will people start to get worried? I think it can go higher. There's no evidence of inflation yet. This is just perception. So I think you've got to, and I'm really quoting Jay Powell, who said, show me the 2%. When it gets there in the actual numbers, we'll start to talk about it.
Wait a second, David. You can't have it both ways, because you say the stock market is preemptive. In other words, it says it discounts what's going to happen in the next 18 months to 2 years. Mm-hmm. So the stock market, so you love that as a stock market investor, and you say, well, that's all fine and well. But you're now saying that the bond market is not as predictive as the equity market is. So you're actually getting the best of both worlds.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's going to wait until he actually sees a sign. In the same way as the market is preempting that there's going to be huge increases in the economy and that corporate profits are going to go up. If they don't get to those levels, everything's going to go the other way. So we're waiting to see all the evidence that this is real. And this is what markets do. They run ahead. So it's no use getting worried about it now. Just go for the ride and just be careful. Just, you know, don't sit back and relax. Just watch the road ahead very, very carefully. Mm. And in case something does happen that just knocks us completely off. But I mean, in the meantime, I'm not going to worry. If people want to go and pay these kind of prices for a lot of stocks, that's great. And Lindsay and I, you know, I'm going to bring, of course, Nick in as well. We're seeing a commodity kind of boom here. That you know where it's going to go. If you've been in the market when commodities start to run, boy,
they've got the
Bitcoin mentality. You know, it's perhaps not as mad as that because there are a lot of traders there. But you can get some incredible run ups in these prices as well. So I sit back and say, look, this train is steaming along. I'm not going to stop it. Let's have fun.
No, let's have some fun. Absolutely. Nick, over to you. But we have to look forward as the market looks forward. Nick, you're looking forward. And I see the US 10-year bond yield now at 1.262%. And it was 6 weeks ago.
So I think just to comment on the whole conversation in that, once again, as David says, sit back, watch the road in front. I always say, trade what's in front of you. We both think similarly when it comes to this sort of thing. Don't fight it is the old expression. The trend is your friend, etc. And you know, the direction of the trend and the point of least resistance for now is risk on, and that's why it's going to stay. But there is a little caveat there, and being a little bit careful, because a lot of the arguments for being in equities we've all heard relentlessly about. You know, there is no other choice. You know, Tina, there's no other option. There's no other choice. You know, you're getting there's negative interest rates. Bond yields are negative. You're getting a higher S&P 500 dividend yield than you are in the US 10-year, et cetera, et cetera. But those arguments for getting into the markets and have justified effectively getting to quite lofty valuations now, you can't argue that anymore, because now all of a sudden a large portion of the S&P 500 dividend yield is now under or getting close to the equivalent of a US 10-year note. So that argument starts to get a little bit difficult and tricky. But I will say that, you know, inflation is quite a lagging indicator. It can be anywhere up to 18 months behind before it really starts kicking.
Yeah.
So there's certainly more more room here, but I think Lindsay's right in saying, and David, it's also an extent, you know, maybe Don's close to that door, you know, just be a little bit careful. we're running and it's great and I love it, and that's our game to be in this market and enjoy when things ride. But it's also our job to look for just warning signs or be a little bit careful. My biggest fear is, and David mentioned Jay Powell, my fear is that the central bank, certainly the Fed and the ECB for that matter, are also guilty of it. They don't want to lose control of this yield curve, the front of this curve. It's an old expression, to be a front of the curve. And I think they're starting to fall a little bit behind, Jack, because the market is certainly running ahead of what Jay Powell keeps on.
I think that with Jay Powell, with Biden as the president, is going to raise interest rates, and that's the bet I've had with David Shapiro, and I think he's going to do it. His shackles have been thrown away, and the Trump shackles, because the Trump organization needs low interest rates because it's in such huge debt. Now it's gone. Now I think interest rates are going to rise, and I think they'll rise before the end of the year, and I think they'll rise actually before the half year as well. But anyway, that's me and David. Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange news service today. The one that interests me, David, is the Spa Group, because it came up with the trading update and the share price getting whacked by 7% or so.
Yeah.
What was that?
When you look at it on the face of it, it looks quite a good result. But it could be because local sales were down. You know, if you look at the local grocery sales, number one, they were hit on the liquor side.
Yeah.
But if you look at the local grocery sales, up 2.8% with inflation, 5.1%. So that's negative, hey?
Yeah.
So in other words, there's negative growth there. Well, what that's a contradiction. In other words, it's not it's a negative number in terms of in real sales. So I think that might have upset the market. I thought that their Switzerland and the Irish numbers were very acceptable. So from that point of view, but it could be the local sales. But Nick might have had access to people who are closer to the numbers, in the sense that, you know, they're retail analysts. I'm just looking at it as an outsider and saying,
I can make a quick comment, David, in the fact, and I must say I was quite disappointed, because I actually liked this. The last set of earnings that came out 6 months ago, they specifically made reference to the pandemic and the lockdown, and went to great length on an earnings call to explain how more and more people were shopping local. So your local spa in Sandown, Sandton stocks a specific type of, I don't know, red dog collar. I think we had this conversation before, this red dog collar, whereas in Brooklyn and Pretoria, they prefer the blue dog collar. So the sort of the nimbleness of spa's distribution, where they don't have a centralized distribution like Pick and Pay does in a big warehouse, is ability to cater for those specific neighborhoods. And they went to great lengths explaining how they were like almost pandemic suited, if that's the right word, for people not wanting to venture far out. They're going 2 km up the road to their local spa. And then they came up with this trading update, which kind of didn't tie at all with what they told us 6 months ago. And I think there's a bit of like, well, what do we believe now as well? And yeah, the liquor ban was also, I mean, the liquor sales obviously hit by the alcohol ban in South Africa. There's no surprises there. And the week-for-week sales were a little bit lighter. I think overall, there's a little bit of disappointment. And as I said, the rhetoric and the story doesn't quite add up to what they told us half a year ago. And the markets can be quite unforgiving when you do that. And
yeah,
7% down is probably what they think of it.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, the two of you, and I'll start with you, David. You've got Pick and Pay, you've got Woolworths, you've got ShopRite, and you've got Spa. Those are the four that I'm going to put out then. Which one would you go for?
David only shops at Trump's, Woolworths. So can you put Trump's in there as well?
Trump's,
I mean, just paid my account. I could not believe it.
What account? What account did you pay?
Trump's.
Trump's.
Did you play with
It's the only place in Johannesburg, Lindsay, that sells quail's eggs.
Quail's eggs,
kind
exactly
of sums,
right.
Sums up our resident Renaissance man.
Do you know that my niece, let me just tell you this very, very, my niece lives in Suffolk in the east of England. She has 4,000 quails and she sells quail's eggs. And she distributes them to all sorts of little specialist grocery stores, etc. She's got 4,000 of these things, and she sells them for £3.75
each.
for a dozen. And they are absolutely beautiful, absolutely dish. And I love a quail's egg. If you can just boil,
I've just got these visions of our friend Mr. Shapiro sitting in his velvet smoking jacket.
He doesn't eat quail's eggs.
Quail's egg and quarter dry.
He doesn't eat quail's eggs.
I tell you why I go to Thrupp's. Go on. For their brazola. Mm. For their called brazola, yeah.
What's that then?
I told you, such a Renaissance man. Mm.
I love with olive oil. Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Explain to us uneducated, which is
it's like what do you call it? It's cured beef. It's nice. It's like very Italian. Mm. It's lovely. Mm. Well, it's not kosher. I have to eat it on paper plates outside. You understand that, you know. I can't eat it in my house, but that's...
You'd have been born in Venice in the 1600s.
Yeah, that's a kind of...
You'd be lost in Joburg now. Yeah.
You're such a rebel...
Otherwise, I'm a Woolworths man.
You're such a rebel Jewish man. Yeah. You're such a rebel when it comes to your faith and your family's faith. But anyway, let's have a look. Eating quail's eggs in Brazil.
You came back to... I don't know what... You've posed that I would have gone for spa, and I think Nick liked spa.
Yes, I do.
And you know what I mean? And this exactly has just taken us off. I've got to go talk to Alec Abraham, who's our man that we go to when we discuss the retailers. You know, also, I wasn't overly enthralled with ShopRite. They didn't quite get to where we thought they'd be. So that's two down. You know, Woolworths is a recovery stock. They're doing very well on the food side, but absolutely awful on the other side. So it's a poser, Lindsay. It's a poser. Which one to go for? Massmart is probably a recovery stock, but they had such an awful history that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to buy recovery.
I would lean towards ShopRite, as I say, threw me a bit of a curveball today. Otherwise, it would have been spa. But I think ShopRite's trading update, it wasn't spectacular yesterday. But I think what they're doing and what I'm hearing what they're doing, I think it's probably the best. Well, that's my call.
We've still got Pick and Pay, I suppose. Eh? I don't know.
Yeah, and Pick and Pay also doing some good things.
I just can't stand Pick and Pay. It's not because I can't stand them. It's just that, anyway, it doesn't matter about me and Pick and Pay. Let's have a look at the spot markets, because the Rand was 14.42 this morning. It's now 14.62 this evening against the US dollar. The British pound against the Rand is 20.30. The Euro Rand is 17.70. The euro dollar is 121.12, which is a slightly stronger US dollar. British pound, the mighty pound, is 138.90.
That's a big number.
Look at that huge thing. Yeah. It nearly went to 140 this morning. We'll talk about that in a second. Gold price is down $14 an ounce to 18.03. The platinum price is 12.91, which is in 24 hours up 5.6%. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
Yeah, down $15, 2378.
Okay, oil price, this has been a story, my goodness me, because of this massive, massive storm in the United States of America. There's a huge storm, so everyone's using oil, apparently. I don't know why people use oil to make themselves warm, but anyway, West Texas has just dipped below, funnily enough, $60 a barrel. It's $59.96, which is up, still up 0.82%. And Brent crude, hold on, Nick. Brent crude is down 0.4% to 63.05. Nick, your comments there.
The traders out there, it's quite fun. So the obviously West Texas is the oil that stays by its bare nature, its name, on the continent of North America, and Brent is obviously the more international version. So West Texas up at 0.9% on the day, and Brent down a quarter. And that spread between the spread between the two. Now, while it's been in a number of years, it's actually in backwardation at the moment. So it's quite an interesting one to watch at the moment. Mm-hmm. So if you're a trader, you're effectively you want to sell West Texas and buy Brent if you're a trader.
The U.S. 10-year bond is yielding at the moment 1.26%. Where's Bitcoin, please, Nick?
I've got a question for you.
Now, before
just
you go
after
on,
that,
now, let's get the markets out of the way. 1.26% for the U.S. 10-year. Where's Bitcoin, please, Nick?
I'm definitely going to get a bell. I don't know. I'm just going to get a bell for the show.
50.
Bitcoin touched $50,000 per Bitcoin a couple of hours ago. It is come back a little bit. Needless to say, still 2.6% higher. One Bitcoin is now worth $49,500.
Now you swear.
I swear.
Okay, good. And the US indices, David's just champing at the bit here. He wants to say something.
No, it's a bull market. It's a bull market. He gets so excited.
Give me the Dow Jones. No, before you go on, it's my show. Let me mediate it. I need the Dow Jones, NASDAQ, and S&P, please, Nick, before David spews out his latest wisdom. Let's start with the obvious.
Well, let's start with the obvious. Ring that bell once again, three times. All on record highs, all three indices. Let's start with the S&P record high at 3,947. The NASDAQ is a record high at 13,860. And the Dow Jones was a record high as well, 31,486.
Sure. Can you believe it? David, over to you.
The question that's bothering me, that I can't quite understand, and it might start being what we're seeing at the moment. You know, when you said the Rand was 1440, it's now 1460. With the 10-year bond going up to 1.26,
yes,
and worries about inflation, it means yields are going up.
Mm. What about a stronger dollar?
Surely you buy the dollar.
Of course you do.
You know, surely money's going to flow.
Well, unfortunately, that blows my commodity super cycle temporarily out the water. Because, what does that mean? Negative, it's normally not great for commodities with a stronger dollar. And David, tying in what you're saying, is the I always check that commitment of traders report every week on a Friday. And last week, Friday, the open interest with traders and speculators short the US dollar is the highest on record. So there's your squeeze.
Yeah,
potential for a squeeze. Yeah,
by the dollar.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at now. I'm saying, You know, surely we get into that position where traders now have to do a reverse and start buying the dollar after absolutely being slaughtered, and we're getting rates going up. You know, I can understand if rates were falling, and that's where I'm just at. Kind of a bit confused at the moment.
And if you want to say where the street or where the sort of the money's position, we just heard it. Highest open interest on the short dollar on record right now. Yeah. So the street is very overextended for a shorter dollar. So this has got to be hurting us a little bit too.
So what we've got here is, let's just recap here. We've got an 11-month high on the US 10-year bond yield at 1.26%. We've had 12 days up in a row on Wall Street. We've got the JSE going to all-time record highs on a consistent basis over the last 2 weeks. The Rand is not 19.35. It almost got to 14.35 earlier today. So something's got to give here, gentlemen. Something's got to give.
I mean, what an exciting start to the year, haven't we? Really, some lots of fun and games going on.
It's the 16th of February. I mean, you've packed a whole year into one and a half months. Anyway, let's have a look at the movers on the JSE today. Resilient up 5.2%. Cartrack up 5.1%. Glencore up 4.5%. Redefine up nearly 4%. And BHP, after a really good trading update this morning. And David, you might want to talk about that in a moment because Nick and I spoke about it this morning. But anyway, BHP up 3.33%. Steinhoff, I mean, this is a penny stock. This is a punting stock. Down 15% on the downside. Spar, we've spoken about that, down 7.4%. DRD Gold came out with numbers this morning, 5.6% weaker. Goldfields, another digger, down 4%. And the Fashini Group, down 2.6%. David, do you like BHP as your commodity play?
I do. What, the results were slightly disappointing. Why I say disappointing is because I read on the weekend that earnings would be, I think, what's it, 6.3 billion. They came in at 6 billion. So that was lower than the market had built in. But what happened, I mean, if you look at the cash that they generated and the dividend that they pay, that was extraordinary.
Yes.
So huge amount of money that they're paying back to shareholders. What kind of disturbed me a little bit, that if you look at their earnings, you know, the trading earnings, EBITDA, whatever you want to call it, 75% of that was iron ore and probably only about 20% copper. So, I mean...
Yeah, what about oil, though? They've always been an oil player as well compared to Anglo-American PLC.
They're going to get rid of oil. They'll get rid of oil. I think they'll move out of oil because of the pressure of fossil fuel and that. And the talk is that they'll go to potash or they'll go somewhere else there. But coking coal also, not as big as – so it really – swings on iron ore, and you can understand why that is. The price of iron ore, $160, they produce the stuff at, I don't know, $13, $14. So, I mean, massive, massive margins there. But should that go the other way, then there could be issues. But analysts don't seem to think so. You know, they've slightly downgraded some of their earnings ahead, but still very, very bullish on iron ore, copper, and what lies ahead. But I think if you look at, you know, the only thing that worries me is the huge leaning towards iron ore, you know, which is like a one-trick pony. So, that's all. I don't know the iron ore price because everybody's talking it down and they want to talk it down to half the price. You know, that could hurt them quite dramatically.
Okay, Nick, can I talk about BHP? What do you think?
BHP, no, I think it's one of the sort of most highly rated mining companies, and most, let me rephrase it, maybe the most, one of the most highly rated companies out there. The balance sheets look extraordinary. The debts is being paid down aggressively, these prices where they are. I like the fact that they have, where oil prices are where they are, whether it's sustainable or not, as David said, I don't know, but 20% of BHP Billiton's, as in the name petroleum, the P in BHP, is part of the mix, iron ore. I think it's a fantastically run business. I think if you've got a 10 or 20-year sort of game plan, you have to have BHP Billiton in your portfolio. Whether or not the results are already baked into the price, that's another conversation. I'm not sure. I suspect there probably is. And it may
Broken
be a little bit
Hill
too aligned
properties,
to David.
Wasn't that? Wasn't BHP? Lindsay, come what? To my aid here.
Okay, I'll try.
BHP Broken Hill Properties, wasn't it? Or Broken Hill what?
I know it was Billiton, obviously, and then it became BHP. And it was, what was that chap called that did it? Because he had a...
Gilbertson.
He put the Brian Gilbertson, and he came in, and when his helicopter would land on the top of the of the building in central Johannesburg, they say the ego has landed, and he was very, and then David, and then David Brian Gilbertson is, started. What did he start? Gemfields or something, David? I can't remember.
The second time around. Yeah,
and he missed it. It didn't quite work out.
I need to David's correct. I stand to be corrected. Well done, David. It's called Broken Hill Proprietary Company Limited. And that is derived, known by the nickname The Big Australian, incorporated in, I get this, August 1885.
Oh,
1885, merged. Operating the silver and lead mine, operating original silver and lead mine in Broken Hill, New South Wales, Australia. So there we go. Well done, David. See, it's always the Renaissance. Yeah. Gets it right. So irritating.
Anyway, where were we going
so
with that?
Irritating. Listen, Glencore. Can we talk about Glencore
yes,
as well?
Yes, of course we could. Go for Glencore.
Mr.
Glazenberg.
Mr. Ivan Glasenberg, a South African rock star outside of Elon Musk.
Yeah. Whatever.
16, I think, or 18 years at the helm. Stepping down and introducing the new CEO today. Really also a solid set of numbers. These are obviously the biggest commodity traders. In the world, they trade more commodities than anyone else. Not the biggest, but they do trade more commodities than anyone else. Nice set of numbers. I mean, solid stock was up 2.5% in London. Huge electric vehicle leaning component with their agreement with Tesla and their agreement with cobalt mining in the DRC that's going to be supplies directly to Tesla factories and lithium and a few others. So, yeah, it really is a big week for these miners. And so far, I don't think they're disappointing too much. The stocks are all looking pretty good. And once again, just reiterating where these commodity prices are in the cycle, the cash flow components and stuff, quite extraordinary.
Yes. Yeah, you see the difference with they haven't got iron ore. Glencore hasn't got
iron
ore. No,
they
don't. So if you want to go into the cobalt and other minerals.
Yeah, they're far more copper, zinc, and lead. Yeah, so they're more the electric vehicle play, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
There's a lovely story with when Mr. Ivan Glasenberg sort of decided to become a permanent fixture in Zug in Switzerland for tech reasons. So he moved there into the canton of Zug. And there's a little, like, when you move to Switzerland, there's like a little agreement. You have to sort of pay a little deposit to your local canton as like a little thank you. Just to be part of the club, you know. You want to be invited to sip Bellinis or whatever it is around the pool. You have to pay your local little deposit. So he walked in. The first thing he did, apparently, he's got the name of everyone in his little village just outside Zug. And he got the name, apparently, it was roughly about 8,000 people. And what he did is after Glencore listed, he paid everyone's tax bill for the first year in the village. All 8,000 people paid their tax bill, and that's how he got part. That's how he got part of the establishment.
So nice, dodgy,
nice little gesture.
So dodgy.
Just be careful, hey. He's a mate of mine. So
David, don't be flashy.
He's doing. I actually had a talk to him. He phoned to wish me, condolences or extend his condolences.
Yes.
No. And I used to run with him. Ivan.
Is he a good chap?
He was a walker.
Is he a good chap, David? Is he a nice fellow? Because he's got a reputation.
You know what he's doing, and I'm not at liberty to say, but he's doing the most incredible charitable projects at the moment, which are close to his heart. And
I guess he's going to be doing more of them. I mean, stepping down today.
That's why one of the reasons is he wants to focus on that. And, it's going to be up to him to release these or to make them more public. But absolutely incredible. And I was very, very
touched. I love
the
story
of this
whole Glencore. It's been a fascinating story out of the Mark Rich stable. If you're interested in commodities, the whole history of Glencore when it was formerly Rich and under the Mark Rich businesses is fascinating. But, I mean, Ivan, he's not doing too bad. I'm just looking now. So he's got 1.2 billion shares. So, I mean, he's okay.
What used to happen with Ivan is that before he made the money, he lived around the corner from me. He came from a middle class family and that, but he was a very, very good athlete. And he had I don't know whether he ever got, I think he might have got
this.
South African giant.
Yeah, he got like Transvaal Colors or something like that. He was very
for walking.
For
walking, but very good. And he was a very good marathon runner. And he used to schlep me on Saturday morning to run with Bruce Fordyce and Bob Della Motta and all these top, and I was the Nochschlepper. You know what a Nochschlepper means?
No, what's a Nochschlepper?
It means the man at the back, the man who's down the road there. But and we used to run on the Wondrous Golf Course. He was training Mark Handelsman, who was running the 800 meters in the 84 Olympics for Israel. And we used to run on the Wondrous Golf Course. We would sprint 18 holes. But believe me, it was only through Ivan that I managed to get my marathon times down to I was like a 2:45 marathon runner, and it's only because of him, because he schlepped me and he used to come knocking on my door to go training, and I was like, oh no. So
his reputation is not relative. I mean, not justified. Sorry. So he's got a bad reputation to the people I speak to. Maybe they're jealous, David. But he's a good fellow, is he?
He's hard, of course he are, and work hard. Work 24 hours a day.
Before lockdown, the number of hours that these gentlemen, specifically like Mr. Glassenberg, how long they spent on an aeroplane. I mean, it was something like, I'm not even making this up, 300 days out of a year. They're busy flying to some far-flung mine somewhere. Mm.
He's not a drinker. He's not a smoker or anything. He might have the occasional drink, but he gets up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to do his riding, to do his running. I think he's gone into riding and swimming now, I think, more, but
just
more riding.
Hate these overachievers.
But you don't. when he comes, he said to me, no, when I come to South Africa, I'll go for a run. I said, no, please, just leave me alone. Just, my heart's not going to take
just,
it. But
just invite him around for breakfast for a quail's egg and just be done with it.
There we go. Nick, please give us the JSE closing indices on this Tuesday.
That was a nice story, Devin. I enjoyed that.
It's a great story.
And I love the Glencore story. All right, so closing prices, let's back to more reality. Let's have a look here.
Go on.
Right, closing prices today. All share. Yeah, we did. In the auction, we managed to close at a new record high. We were a little bit higher this morning, but still, closing price is what matters. 67,227, up 102 points. Top 40 tradable, also up 100 points. Also, new closing high for the top 40 companies index, 61,775. And looking at the individual drivers today, energy shares led by Sasol. Sasol had a good day, up 3% today. So energy index up 4.04%. Basic materials 1.4% higher. Healthcare 1.34%. And the laggers today, financials. The banks are all over the place today, but generally they were weaker. Financial index down 0.44%, and technology down 0.66% in value traded today. Look at our market stats. We are not too bad. 22.438 billion value traded.
Fantastic. So much interest in emerging markets at the moment. Give me the silver price, please, if you would, Nick Kunze.
Silver price for you, special price for you, it is not down that much. It's down a quarter, $27.56 per ounce.
David Shapiro, do you know why the pound is called the pound as we close this conversation? Do you know why the pound
is called the pound? That's an interesting one, I don't know.
Exactly. Okay, let me tell you this. The pound was a unit of account in Anglo-Saxon England equal to 240 silver pence, and a pence is the plural of penny, and equivalent to 1 pound weight of silver in those days. The origins of sterling lie in the reign of King Offa of Mercia in the years 757 to 796, who introduced the silver penny. So the pound is called the pound because a pound was worth a pound of silver in the 8th century. Isn't that extraordinary?
Goodness gracious. I didn't know that. I want to know
tune in this Thursday for useless information.
But you've got to explain to me why sterling or the pound is called cable.
And I know, I can tell you that straight away. Because exactly. And actually, Nick, I'll go over to you on this one because of the cable between the United States and the city.
Cable between New York. Yeah, between New York and London. They ran a cable under the ground and under the sea. She landed in Nantucket. And you can still go to the edge of the coastline in Nantucket where the original telegraph cable came in, where they have the currencies going back and forth. That's why it's called cable. Here's another one for you. What about – there's lots of –
there was a man from Nantucket.
No, don't.
The only other one I know with a nickname from the currency boys that were trading on all the Essex boys I used to work with, the only other one I remember was the Looney, which was Canadian dollar. And I think that's the hat they used to wear. The Mounties, was that hat was called the – I don't know. Anyway.
What about the Vietnamese dong? What about the dong?
Okay, I'm going now.
Okay, you two are really fascinating, I must say. Nick Kunze is from Sandland Private Wealth, and David Shapiro is from wherever he's from, Assessment Securities. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.